give him a shot.
First, I have a praise report. You know Noah's car? He had three men. Three of them in the car, and it rolled over three times. And none of them are hurt, right? Not a broken bone, nothing. Nobody went to the hospital. I think that's God. Anybody agree with me? Come on. Come on, not even a broken pinky. Oh, Lord, we thank you for that. So, hey, he's good. I think he's getting Noah's attention, and it's a good thing. So, yeah, I have a word during worship, and all of a sudden God is showing me something. It's for you with the blonde hair. What's your name? Emily. Yes, Emily. I saw just a little snapshot of you, and you were moving your hand like this, and you were commanding evil to get back. You were warring for your family, right? And you were in warrior mode, right? Does that resonate with you? Do you ever do that? If you don't do that, maybe you should try it. Because I think the Lord is showing, you know, he showed me something to encourage you. That you need to tell this stuff to get back and get away. And that for you and your house, you'll worship the Lord, right? So you just give it a try and start moving in that, because I think you're called to that as more of a prophetic warrior to tell that stuff to stand down and get back.
So good. Come on, that's good. Amen. I as he was speaking, I just feel like the Lord kind of gave me something to piggyback off that. I feel like, on Friday, it was Purim. And I feel like there is like this Esther anointing on your life. Like Esther came she came for such a time as this to bring deliverance for her family, for her people. And so I think that goes right along with what he's saying. I feel like there's such a purity about you and such an innocence and gentleness about your spirit, and it's going to open people up. It's going to open family members up and people that just are so broken, so lost, so hurting. And so that I would encourage you to read the story of Esther. And that's like you. That's who you are. So I bless you with that. Amen. That's so good. Come on, Ashley. Amen. That's right. Come on. She said that the significance of Purim was that they celebrated the victory before they had it. They hadn't been delivered yet. You know, Haman had some evil plans, but they celebrated the victory. And so celebrate the victory even before you see it. There's a great victory coming for all of you. So we bless you guys. And okay, everybody, piggyback. We've got three piggybacks. Amen.
Because of that will teach you and do that. But you have the authority of Christ to move and have your being and to do the things that Joseph saw in you and that Michael, Pastor Michael, sees in you. You are who Christ says you are.
Amen. Yeah. We're not trying to embarrass you. You were just really highlighted.
Place and we release
Come on. Come on. So good. Amen. So if you're new here, we're just... you're like, what's happening right now? I don't know. I was reading Corinthians in my Bible reading, and, you know, it got crazy sometimes. It got fun. It got dramatic. It got wild. And so sometimes you just got to just go with what the Holy Spirit's doing, and sometimes he just wants to talk to people. And sometimes, you know, you just move with that. And so we're just obeying the scriptures, and that's what we like to do here. So I am so honored to welcome up our next guest. And it's fun that you were just up here, Joe, because, and I'm sure you'll talk about this, but we all know Dr. Tom Griner. He's amazing. He's been coming here probably since, I don't know, late 80s, early 90s, before. Yeah, I don't know. He's been coming for a long time, and he's just been such a blessing to this house, and added so much strength and grace to this house. And but Joe and Tom, they have an amazing ministry in Africa where they do crusades and feed so many kids and take care of orphans. And if you want to support that, you can write a check and just put it right in the tithe box. But if you want another practical way to support that, buy tons and tons of Mount Whitney coffee. Yeah, come on. That's their coffee company. And the coffee supports the ministry in Africa. And it's the best. It's probably the best coffee I've ever had. So there's a little plug. It's really good. Buy as much as you can. Give it as Christmas gifts and Easter gifts. But I'm honored and I'm so blessed to have you, Dr. Tom Griner. You're amazing, and I'm so thankful for what you've been able to speak into my life over the years and what you've spoken into this house. He was such an he was such a pillar in Pastor Eric's life, and stood with Eric when he was going through hell and in a couple different times. And so you're awesome, and we love you, and we're just excited for what you have for us. So can you give a warm welcome to Dr. Tom Griner?
Okay, so good to be in the house. So praise the Lord. Why did the chicken cross the road? Okay, so there's my joke for the day. Look, it made my face turn red. But hey, it's good to be here. Thank you, Michael, and glad to see the Bales there. I haven't seen them in a while. And all of you, but there's something happening. You seem like you're getting younger. Not sure what that phenomena is. And I maybe need to shave, but I've been in the basement, you know, because of COVID and what, until the flu swept through my whole family and we all had COVID, and now we have antibodies. But they say that's not good enough. You need to have a vaccination. I said, no, I have a degree in biology. That's enough. So, hey, we live in a pretty wild time, right? We had two crusades set up in May, last May, and then the COVID thing came to town, and we had to cancel them. And, you know, we lost some money, or, you know, it cost us some money to do it. But we have perseverance, Joe and I and others that are on our team, and we'll be doing it again real soon. So be praying for us that we can do it. I want to give a book away. I want to give several of them away. It's a little book entitled Elephant in the Room, Dispelling the Fear of Death. And I wrote this because as I looked around with the COVID thing, everybody's just like freaking out, frightened. And the core of that mostly is fear. We have a fear of death that's in our culture. It's in the church. It's everywhere. And so I wrote this, and I wrote it. I think it's a good little book. So if you know somebody that you think has the fear of death, because I know you probably wouldn't raise your hand yourself, if you'd like to read this, a little copy, maybe Joe would help me hand some of these out. Fear of death. And I even, when my friend Eric died, it's like, I said, wow. I said, suppose that was me. And I kind of winced. And I said to myself, I said, you're disturbed, aren't you, Dr. Greiner? And I said, well, just a little bit. Because here's the spoiler. Perfect love casts out all fear. And so we need to encounter the perfect love so that we can face whatever comes. You know, Jesus spoke to some people in the book of Revelation who were under pressure. They were at the church of Ephesus, I believe it was. And he says, go ahead, the devil's going to throw a bunch of you in prison. Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. And so I'm thinking, wow, that's kind of heavy duty. But, you know, we live on the edge of eternity, and so we just need to be bucking up in the Lord so that we can live and not have a fear of the future. Did you want one of these? I did. Yeah. It's just a little book. It's just in process. So I just wanted to give that to you, and it's just, you know, this is the real stuff with real Bible in it. Okay? And so I brought my notes today, but I never can hardly use them because I'm just not trained enough yet. But I'm still trying to train myself to stay on course because it's like for the last few months I've got about 5 sermons that I've been developing. And so the tendency is that you will hear all 5 today. And so I don't want to do that. I talk to myself. I say, don't do that. Don't talk about that. Don't talk about this. Stay on course. Keep it simple. Tell a story. Be nice. Stay sweet. Don't blow the place up. And it's not always easy to do. And so I'm not going to talk about Trump. I'm not going to talk about COVID. I'm not going to talk about politics. I'm not going to talk about tunnels underground with children in them or whatever. But the Lord's been speaking to me because everything changed lately from what I thought it was going to be in the world that we're living in. I've studied American history. I know where our country came from. It's a city set on a hill. I know the true historicity of our country, which is a covenant with God. And if anything that we could do as a people is we could appeal to our Father and say, Lord, you bless this country. It was founded in covenant from its very beginning by people who came here for one purpose, not to establish slavery, but to bring forth a place where people could live in peace and freedom and do whatever they want, basically. And so I don't want to get into all that. So I'm just making a study of that and, where did the worldview that is in collision with the Judeo-Christian worldview come from? How long has it been here? Well, it's been here since after World War II. There is another worldview that's anti-Christ. It's anti-Jesus. And it wants to be free to experience a social revolution that's really based on progressivism and what would you call it? Evolution. And so it's destructive. It's against everything that we stand for when it comes to the mores of civil society. And I'm not going to talk about that. And I'm not going to talk about... Michael, I'm not going to talk about politics. Because you know politics and religion cause trouble. But I just want to say this about politics, that every person here, we're everyone involved in politics. Politics is what is the policy that you have in your home. It's the door that you have that keeps people out. Uh-huh. Politics is the reason we're in the pickle we're in, because we were not paying attention to what was going on and our responsibility as the church to mold the culture. Yeah. And we let it go loose, and now it's a raging wild person. And and so we've got to understand what the times are we're living in, where we're going, where we came from, what we need to accomplish, and getting angry and mad. And, I did think about becoming a concealed carrier, but I just can't do the gun. I got a shotgun. That's about all I can do. But what I'm called to do and what I think we're called to do, we're called to burn with the life of Jesus. We're called to proclaim the gospel. It's through the foolishness of preaching that that the Lord says through Paul in Corinthians, chapter 1, I believe it is. Could be chapter 2. Could be Corinthians 1 or Corinthians 2. But we're called to preach the gospel, and it's through the foolishness of preaching. Think about that. Because how many times have you said, ooh, can you believe those people are preaching on the street and they got those signs and they need to get a grip and learn how to do it right. But there's something about the foolishness of preaching. And so this is the word that needs to go forth, the gospel of the kingdom. And it needs to go forth and it needs to carry with it the instrument that separates Adam from the new Adam. You know what that is? That's the cross. So we need a gospel that has a cross in it. Not a new cross. It's the old rugged cross. Amen. It's the cross of separation. And so that's one of my little sermons. The Lord spoke to me in the last just few months, and he says, do you see the iniquity that's all around? And I said, yes. He said, well, you have iniquity in you. I said, yeah, I guess I do. And then he began to become more specific and reminding me of how easy it is to be crooked in your conversation. We see it so much in the political arena. And after all, civil society needs policy, and we have to establish that. And we can't relegate that to the devil, or he'll establish his policy. Right. And all of this is being played out. The life we're living is being played out in people. And it depends on what is in them. So we live by a constitution in our country. I just went off on another little limb there. Our constitution works if there are people of character.
That's right.
But if there's no character, then it's a dog-eat-dog world. And so iniquity is simply a word found in the Bible. Iniquity, transgressions, and sin. Iniquity is crookedness. It's that which is bent. It's what you do when you're talking to somebody and they're talking to you and telling you their story, and you're thinking about your story for them to get them to do something you want or to think something you want them to think. Especially those of us who are in the ministry, we do it all the time. We do it on congregations. We help the congregation realize who they need to be and where they need to go, because we have something as ministers sometimes that we want. And so manipulation is iniquity, and it comes in the guise of truth, but in reality, it's crookedness. It's truth that moves off the purposes of God and becomes iniquity. Husbands and wives do it with each other. People are telling stuff that's not fully true to get what they want. It's merchandising. Matter of fact, the devil, that was the first original transgression. The opening up of sin came from a cherubim, and you can read about it in Zechariah 28, who merchandised what he had in beauty, and he perverted the purposes of God and moved into a place of vanity and became iniquitous. I don't know if that's a word, but it should be. He began to be a practicer of iniquity, and with iniquity comes vanity and violence. And that's part of the root etymology of iniquity. And why am I saying that to you? Because in the church, we have iniquity, and King David had it. I have it, because you live in a, you have two people living in you. One is the man that's dead in sin and death and iniquity, and the other, if you're born of the Spirit, is the one that's alive in Christ, who wants to live and bear the kingdom of God. And so I don't want to preach that sermon today, because I've got it right here. It's, you know, it's like 5 pages long. The mystery of iniquity. It's a great word because it's apropos. The church needs something to reconnect to that brings us to the foundations. We can't live off all this internet chatter, all these words, all this stuff, this, that, and the other. I mean, the world is spinning. And you need something solid. And what you need and I need, I've been in this thing for 50 years or longer. And so I'm at this place, and I'm sitting in my basement. I do these programs every week for Africa. I do 5 programs a week. They're 30-minute programs on national Zambian television in Africa. And I've been have the program's entitled Power to Create Wealth. It sounds like fun, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because the answer to poverty is free enterprise, because free enterprise is given by God as a pathway to human flourishing, because it's built out of and expressed out of not greed, but giving. You solve a problem. You give something. And God has given that to us. The World Bank says in the last 30 years, poverty has fallen by 50% because not of humanitarian aid, not because we have infused more money, but it's simply been because of free enterprise. Think about that. Isn't God good? Yes. Free enterprise. And our country is a country that stands for free enterprise, but there's something that wants to say capitalism's evil. The foundation is evil. This is evil. And it's evil. You know, good is being called evil, and evil is being called good. We're living in that kind of a world. And so, but what the Lord is saying to me is, Tom, you need to reconnect with me. You've done enough on church history and American history and Marxism and the Frankfurt School and what's wrong. And, you know, I preached some sermons that were pretty cutting, you know, on Facebook into my little platform. And so the Lord says, you need to just lay that aside now, reconnect to the source. Because if you don't have the source, you don't have anything. And the source is simply what we are celebrating here today. It's what this church is all about. It's the simplicity of the Spirit of God in the midst of God's people. And the Spirit of God's in the midst of God's people when He's in you and when you let Him out. And so I want to just maybe talk a little bit about that. And I don't want to beat you up. I want to bless you. But I want to give you something today. And I just appreciate Michael inviting me to share with you today. I want to give you something that can give you some anchor for your soul that goes behind the veil, which has been rent, into the very presence of God, into reality. Because if we don't traffic in reality, we'll traffic in vanity. And so vanity is that which doesn't, it's what you can do with your life that doesn't have anything to do with the purposes of God. And the church has become, has come into a place where it wants to, it feels like it can just have fun and do whatever it wants, and it makes no difference. We're all just saved. We're going to heaven. But when we drift from the purposes that we were created for, then our lampstand begins, the lamp, the oil in our heart, the light begins to dim. Because you don't just start the race, you have to finish it. It's not enough just to say, I got saved, and that was, now I'm just cruising. If you're just cruising, you need to just think about this a little bit. Because if you're just cruising, you could be cruising right into a place of lukewarmness. You could be cruising into a place of just where you're just a cool Christian. You're not too hot. You're not too cold. You're just kind of in the flow. And you may find yourself like those, you know, the Bible speaks of the 10 virgins. Have you ever heard that scripture? I mean, maybe I'll just read it to you. I don't want to scare you. But the 10 virgins says, when the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and they went out to meet the bridegroom. But this is in the Bible, okay? And now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in the vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. And then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and he said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. And so I've read this many times, but here I am. I've been in, you know, following the Lord, pursuing him in ministry and in life for 50 years. And the Lord brings me back to this. Now, why would he do that? I mean, aren't I safe? Is anybody safe? Well, I am safe, but I'm not safe. I live in the mystery of godliness. I'm in a place where I'm working out my salvation with fear and trembling, which means I'm not taking for granted, Christian mythology. I'm not taking for granted the groupthink that surrounds us as Christians. I'm saying, Lord, you examine me to see if I be in the faith. I'm going to examine myself. You examine me and see if there's any wicked way in me. Why do I do that? I've been saved a long time. I understand the blood and being filled with the Spirit. Because the Lord says, Tom, I want you to keep oil in your lamp. I want your light to burn bright. I don't want you to become complacent. I don't want you to try to fill your lamp with almond oil or some kind of political oil. I don't want you to fill it with make me feel good oil. I don't want any vegetable oil, which is an oxymoron because there's really no such thing. I want you to fill your lamp with pure olive oil that's beaten. That's what it says in Exodus. You know, they said, go and gather oil and get olive oil, pure olive oil that's beaten. Beaten is not crushed or pressed. It's you beat the olive, what do you call those things? Berries? Fruit? You beat it up. It's a fruit, right? You beat it up, and there's some golden oil, just a little bit in there. You get more when you crush it, but when you just beat it. So this is beaten oil, and this is what the Lord spoke to the Israelites and said, get pure oil. Let me just read the scripture to you. It's 27:20. Pure olive oil, not any other kind, and get that. It's usually oil that comes from the first fruit of the olive tree. Get that olive oil and use that in the temple to burn the candlestick, the lamp, because the temple has a light that burns 24/7, 7 days a week. And so that was their plan to do that, but they were called to get this certain kind of oil, and it was first fruits. And Jesus is the light of the world, and he is a first fruits of those that have been born of God. Of course, he is the eternal God in flesh. And so you and I have to maintain the intimacy, the oil of intimacy for our lives so that we can be a part of who and what God is doing. These virgins, this is kind of, it's a little bit unnerving, and it's not the only verse like this. But these virgins all they were all virgins, they all had lamps, and this is a parable, and they all had oil. But they had slept, time had passed, and then the bridegroom came unexpectedly, and five of them, 50%, were unprepared, and they went scrambling trying to find out where's God. And when the pressure came, they were they were just mixed up, and they went to those who had, and they said, listen, those who had oil said, you got to get this for yourself. No, your pastor can't get this for you. Your friends can't get it for you. The TV preacher can't get it for you. Every person, every man, woman, boy, and girl has to get their own oil. Or what can happen? You can stand before the Lord and say, Lord, Lord. And he may say to you, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? Have you ever heard that? That's in the Bible. And you say, well, Lord, we cast out demons in your name. We prophesied. We did miracles. You know, Joe and I, we've seen so many miracles and people healed and delivered. But you can go do all of that and come back and still find yourself completely outside of the full purposes of God. But because it's a heart thing. Does that make sense to you? And you're getting a lot of my little sermonettes today. And so the simple key is to stay before the Lord and to allow him to fill your lamp. Because your lamp is your heart. That you are the candle of the Lord. And you get lit when you come to God. Until then, you're living in darkness. You live in vanity. You're not in the purposes of God. You're outside the purposes of God. Just because you come to church here today doesn't mean that you're in the purposes of God yet. You must be born of the Spirit of God. Not born of religion, not born of olive oil that is pressed, not born of almond oil, but we have to be born of the Holy Spirit oil, the oil of God, the pure oil of God, the Holy Spirit. And so I am just disturbed at this parable of Jesus. And I used to think, well, this is talking about ministry. And then, you know, you change your theology just trying to find something that is a little more palatable. But I believe it would be best to take the Word of God as it is and let it create a sense of tension than to try to figure out some way to resolve it in a way that lets you to continue to live as you've always lived. Now, I'm just speaking out of my own life. And so these five virgins, they came, and five of them, they were virgins. They were set apart for the bridegroom. There was no doubt about it. They had been sanctified in that sense. They had lampstands. They were nice and shined. But they were missing the essential and crucial thing. They didn't have oil for their lamp, which is another way of saying they didn't have the life. Now, somebody can say, oh, brother, don't believe that. You've got the life. I see it on you. No, don't say that to somebody. I mean, you can say it, but don't you just believe it because somebody says it. Every one of us needs the internal testimony. We need the testimony of God within ourselves that says, yes, you have oil in your lamp. And you have that inward revelation of light. You know something of God. You don't know as much as you want, but you know that you know Him a little bit, and you really know that He knows you. And so there's this light of revelation that burns. And there's a controversy against this light that's burning and wants to burn. There are people who go to church who are religious that have lampstands. They have a candle, but it's not lit by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's lit by other things. And it's not light. It's not pitch dark. It's this gray area that is the worst kind of darkness. And as the church, and in my life, the Lord is encouraging me, get more oil for your lamp. So whatever comes, it don't make no difference. They want to throw you in jail or whatever, you're going to have oil in your lamp. I got oil. I've got oil. I have the pure oil, and it's beaten. That means it's broken. The Lord will receive a broken and a contrite heart. That's not something that's destroyed. It's not something ugly. It's just, it means that the cross is the instrument of separation into life, not into death. Because what it separates you from is already dead and will never be resurrected. And that's the beauty of the gospel. It brings us from death into life. And the old man that we want to prop up, you know, that man that wants to do his own thing and live his own way and wants to justify everything. He wants to go to heaven, but he wants to live for himself. That man is dead, and he will not be propped up by God. And God is not going to save him. It's a tree that's been cut down. It's been plucked up by the roots. It's the old man. And every one of us carries an old man that wants to gain ascendancy in our life. It wants to diminish the light that's in you if you've been born of the Spirit. If you haven't been born of the Spirit of God, you're living in an old man that could be a good old man. You may be nice to your dog, nice to your wife. You may go to church. You may be, we're going to make him a deacon. He's a great guy. But if he doesn't have the flame, he's deceiving himself. He's still dead in his trespasses and sins. And so Jesus came, died on a cross, and we get to die with him. And he does the work so that we're separated from that. That tree dies. And we are born into a new vine. We become the branches of the vine. And his name is Jesus. But even he said in the book of John, he says, you know, I'm coming to prune the branches. And if a branch doesn't bear fruit, if it doesn't have the life that brings forth fruit, I'm going to cut it off. Now, I don't know what that means to you. But I know what it means to me. And so the good news is that if we understand that this thing called the cross is really a way of living, we'll understand that it's a way of having the life we really want. Jesus came to give us life abundantly and more abundant. But how does that come? It doesn't come when you think you can just live your life unto yourself. Self is something that has to give way to the life of God. I wished I would have used my notes. I could have done so better, so much better. How about this one? Enter in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life. And there are few who find it. And so these scriptures that I'm reading, and I really wanted to start in Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. It's the eyes of Jesus on the seven churches of Asia Minor. The first one is Ephesus, a church that started ablaze in the kingdom of God. And Jesus comes and he looks at that church and he says to that church, you did this good, you did that good. You examined those who call themselves apostles and you found those that were liars. Think about that. Have you heard a sermon on that lately? You need to examine what you hear and find out what's lying to you. Because there's stuff that's lying out there. Jesus said, beware of false prophets. Man, that's a powerful word. You shall know them by their fruit, because there's a lot of clouds with a lot of what looks like water in them, but there's nothing there. And so that's one of those other sermons. But in Revelation chapter 2, Mike, in Revelation chapter 2, Jesus is saying, you know, you've persevered. You've done this good. You've done this good. But then he comes to this one place and he says, but I have this against you. You have left your first love. Then he says, repent, or I will come quickly and remove your lampstand. Now listen to this, people of God. Here is Jesus looking at the church, finding things that are commendable, but they are not the thing that he's looking for, because things that are commendable are not what he is approving. He will only approve life. He will only approve the presence of Jesus Christ. The presence of Jesus risen from the dead is a flaming fire in you and I, and that only comes out of the oil that comes from intimacy. And intimacy is where we have to forge a relationship with God. Now, as I've already said four times, I've been in this thing a long time. But I'm still forging intimacy with God. And I still have to drag myself back, and I have to get a bucket of the Word of God and put out some of the fire that leaks over from the other man that wants to exert himself. You know, he's got things he likes. He enjoys things. He likes to look at it all. He wants to smoke it all. He wants to drink it all. You know, the old man is, or he may be one of those sanctified old men who looks at you with a jaundiced eye, like, why don't you become more holy like I am? And it's not about any of that. It's about the life that burns within, and it's the life of the Holy Spirit being filled with God, the Holy Spirit. That's the oil. That's the life. And the life of the Holy Spirit, you know, Jesus is looking at these seven churches, and every one of them he has something to commend. But every one he challenges. The last one is the Laodicean church, and he challenges that church. He says, lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth unless you repent. Come and buy of me riches, you know, pure gold. And then you'll overcome. There's this kind of audacious, out-of-the-box kind of threat that Jesus is giving these seven churches. And in fact, if you look carefully through the Scripture, there are things here that can make you nervous. It says, you know, Jesus said, unless you continue, you know, if you will persevere through persecution, if you will continue to the end, then you will be saved. Now, I'm not going to go try to clean all this up theologically, because this, you know, this treads in areas. But I'm just going to let it stand for what it is. But I know this, that Paul said, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal bodies. And the pathway to ministry and power and authority is not through having a new building and a new organized approach to Christianity. It's people who are willing to turn from themselves and give their lives away to others in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the pathway to knowing God. That's the pathway to the power of God. Unless a seed fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it falls in the ground, if you lay aside your self-will because you feel the Holy Spirit wants you to do this, that, or the other, and you say, Lord, I'd rather do what you want than what I want to do. I want to drink that glass of wine, but you're telling me to knock it off, so I'm going to go this away. And when you bury that desire, which is not a bad desire necessarily, right? Are y'all with me? When you take those desires and those impulses and those things that want to draw you away, that anger, that fear, that whatever, and you say, Lord, I'm just going to let that go. I'm going to die to it. Paul is saying this, we do that for the sake of Jesus, for the sake of the kingdom. And what happens after we do that? Life springs forth into abundance. You know, I was sharing with you about Africa. I don't know if I ever finished telling you about Africa, did I? You'll have to come online and learn about it. But this thing is something that we have to connect with because this is the real thing. I don't know about everything else. I don't have any rocks to throw at anybody else. But I know that the church needs something real because what we do have has been a gospel without a cross. And the cross that we have had has been the cross, but there's more than the work of the cross. There's the way of the cross. And the way of the cross is the way we give ourselves unto the Lord by the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's the seed that falls into the ground and we bring forth life. Life upon life upon life. And so you see this in the life of Paul the apostle. He said, I want to know the fellowship of the resurrected Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering and be conformed to his death. And I used to read that and it makes me wince. Conformed to his death. I'll leave that part out. I want to know the power of his resurrection. But you can't know the power of his resurrection unless you know the conformity unto death. Where, you know, he was in the garden. He said, Father, Jesus did, is there any other way? I don't want to go to this cross. And he said, but not my will, your will be done. And Jesus was the good seed of the Father planted in the earth, crucified on a cross to bring forth life for a company of sons and daughters who we are. And now you sons and daughters, for us, let's continue and finish the race and not become lukewarm along the way. Not allow our hearts to be soddened with cheap theology that keeps us from giving of the very essence of our lives. It's not, he didn't save us that we could just become wandering stars or go on a joyride. He saved us for a purpose. To them that love him and are called according to his purpose, those are the ones that he is standing with. But we've said, you can just live any way you want. It's going to be okay. We know you love God. He loves you. He would never hurt you. No, not purposely. But he could shut the door on you if you don't have oil in your lamp. He could take your lampstand away. He could tell you the gate, you didn't come through the narrow gate. He could say, you call me Lord, Lord, but you are a worker of iniquity, a worker of lawlessness. These are powerful scriptures that aren't here to make us feel bad, but this is the pathway to what the reason that you're here. Have you ever thought about it that way? The only reason you couldn't see what I'm saying today is because you've been convoluted by a theology that's warring and fighting against the truth. But the love of the truth will bring you into the truth, the true truth, and get you out of iniquity and vanity. If you're just living your life for, you know, you've got a trailer and you're just driving around looking at the trees, enjoying life, you know, there's a place for that, but there's something better than that. That what's better is to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to become an exhibit for the resurrected Jesus. In fact, you and I were created to be a manifestation of Christ in the earth. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. I am created for one purpose, to burn for the living God. And something that's burning needs to burn. And I must manifest that Jesus is alive and risen from the dead. This started in the book of Acts. Jesus said, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you're going to be baptized, immersed, inundated with God's presence, and then you are going to have power to bring forth witness, as in a prosecution, a court of law. Jesus said, I'm giving you something in my presence of my Spirit, so that you have the goods. You can bear testimony that Jesus is risen from the dead. And just go into all the world and begin to let your light so shine before men that they'll glorify your Father who's in heaven. This is the calling of Christianity. It's not to service the lampstand and to keep it shiny. You know, how many churches do you know that have the beautiful lampstand and great congregation and they do good things, but there's no light in the place? It's filled with darkness. Yet nobody will call them out because how dare you speak against your brethren? Hey, we need somebody to say, hey, wait a minute. Where's the light? And if there's the light of the Holy Spirit in your life, there's going to be power in word and deed. And so, no wonder Peter and John, the day after they received the Holy Spirit, you know that's Acts chapter 2, they were waiting on God. And they didn't know what they were waiting for. And then all of a sudden there came a mighty rushing wind. And the Holy Spirit in tongues of fire fell upon them. And they began to speak in other tongues. And they began to praise God. And the people in the city were freaking out because they could hear them. And they said, what is this? This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And the Spirit of God came on those people. And the light, the lamp was lit. And these people begin to burn. And Peter went right down and preached to 5,000. And there was so much fire, the people repented. And they gave their hearts to the Lord who they had crucified. And the next day, Peter and John, in the book of Acts, chapter 3, they're going to a place called the Gate, through the Gate Beautiful. And there's a man there that's been crippled from birth. And he's there asking them for money. And the Peter and John say, silver and gold, we don't have any, but what we do have, we'll give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. They grabbed him by the hands, and Joe and I have done that. People are crippled, grab them up, jerk them up, and they start walking. We say, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the guy gets up and starts dancing and praising the Lord. But what happened there? Peter and John gave what they had, and they got it the day before. They became a vessel filled with the testimony, with the life of the living God. We are called to defend life. We're built for life. Wherever there's darkness, we bring light and life. And when there's no life, there's darkness and death. And there's something that wants to extinguish our life. But I'm going to compound the life by yielding myself, being the seed. I'm a good seed. Not in myself, my old self, but just in my yieldedness, because you plant your good seed to get a good crop, right? Are you guys catching what I'm sharing with you? Yeah. And so, you know, there's a scripture in Romans 8, which I used to not really, I said, what does it mean? Paul said, we're sheep to the slaughter. But he says, for thy sake. And so death in me, when I turn from me, there's life in my wife. There's life in my kids. There's life in my dogs. There's life wherever I go. I bring something because I begin to pour out rather than looking for what I want for myself. The true Christian life is a life of pouring out. And we're pouring out what? The life of God. And so what I'm saying to us today is not just a doctrine. It's not something you can just talk about. We just can't sit around and listen to a sermon about it. We have to receive this Holy Spirit of God and then become the flaming light. And when you receive it, you'll know it. Have you received the Holy Spirit since he's been gone? Somebody said. And so we can't take it for granted. This church has been here how long? 50 years? 45 years? Albie and Helen Pearson started this church. It's had oil all of these years. The congregation has. But I'm sure the Lord could come and say, hey, wait a minute. There may come a time he says, this is good, that's good. What you've done in the past is good, but it doesn't count anything for what you are now. It's what is happening now that is of paramount importance. The Lord is graciously saying, come on, let's have intimacy. Let's have relationship. Put aside everything that wars against it. It's the controversy of Zion. The controversy of Zion is that there's something working in this world that wants to destroy the life of God making manifest in God's people. And one way it does that is causing you to be disqualified, so God himself removes you and your lampstand. Now, that didn't fit a lot of people's theology, but I think that there's ample reason to believe that it could possibly be true. And so I share that with us today because this is what God's speaking to me. So what else can I tell you but what God's talking to me about? And so I want to ante up. Those who dwell in the courts of God shall bring forth fruit in their old age. And so I'm not retiring. I want to bring forth fruit in my old age. And I want to become even a flaming bush. And it comes simply by letting go of me and releasing myself to be under the auspices of God. He's a good leader. Jesus will lead you perfectly. So don't think that because you have to leave something behind that you're going to lose out. No, if you give something and let something go, because you're dead to sin already if you're in Christ. That's done. The blood covers you of your sins. But now you need to walk it out. You got to live it. Because what he did outside, externally, has to be done internally in you and me. That's why Paul says, I want to be conformed to his death. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so, if you want to have life, this is the pathway. There is no other pathway. There's no other pathway to the anointing other than feigning it. People feign the anointing by creating atmospheres that present something that's not what it really is. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so we don't want to do that. And I don't have anything. Again, I'm not trying to throw rocks, beat anybody up. But I just know this is the narrow way. And go home and think about it. Read these scriptures and don't become frightened that you can't do it. You can do anything God leads you into. Just get filled with the Holy Ghost, and it's more fun to get filled with God, the Holy Spirit, and be moving in his presence than it is to be, I want to watch that movie. You know, I've seen all the movies and stuff, you know, and it's like, how can they have the F word so many times? And how do I have so many Christian friends that it doesn't bother them? And my wife says, well, you're listening to at least 10 of them now before you turn the program. It's getting all over you. And so it's not, that's just an example of the dealings. There's nothing wrong to say to the church, hey, you're sitting and listening to something that, like this, that, or the other, that's filled with cursing or filled with sexuality or sex and all. Don't do it. That stuff is going to mess you up. Well, don't want to be a legalist. Okay, don't be a legalist, but follow Jesus. And you're not going to find his life in that. And so there has to be a separating and a willingness to have discomfort. And I don't like discomfort. I want to fly business class. But I've never been able to afford a business class plane ticket. But I have flown business class. Because I have a lot of miles. And so how many of you hear what I'm saying? Any questions? You got a question? I like it. Yeah. If your lamp's lit. No, I love you. I'm sorry if I couldn't be more clear on what I'm just trying to share with you. But this is something that can stick to your rib. It's better than, you know, white gravy and biscuits. It's ribeye. It's filet mignon. And meat has all of the essential vitamins you could ever need. I'm sorry. I'm just messing with my friends there. Anyway, hey, I love you guys. Now, here's a perfect opportunity. We just got a few minutes. We're past. Why don't you just come? If you just say, you just want to say, Jesus, I just want to be free to follow you and to be filled with your life. I want to be a testimony of the resurrection life. How many of you want that in your life? I know you do. That's what this church is all about. That's what you sense when you come in here, the flagging and whatever. And why don't you just come and just for a moment and let's just have a little consecration to the Lord. But don't get heavy. Don't beat yourself up. That's not going to help anything. The old man, just say, yeah, you're just corrupt and you're dead. So get out of my life. And just give yourself to the love of Jesus right now. So just come right now if you'd like to do that. We won't make it too complicated. Yeah, you want oil? You want more? We can just do whatever. Whatever Michael wants to do. Thank you. Thank you. Just lift up your hands to the Lord. I've got my grip. So, Father, we just thank you for your goodness to us, that you love us so dearly, that you're not trying to bring some old-time religion on us. You want to bring your Son manifested in us. Lord, we love Jesus. He raised from the dead. He paid the price. He shed his blood. And now, Lord, I want to give myself to him. I want to give myself for his sake because I love him. Jesus, you said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Lord, I want to follow hard after you. I want to love you with my whole heart, all my strength and my mind. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Just forget about what's wrong in your life right now. Just say, Lord, forgive me. And now just say, Jesus, I thank you. You're bringing me into new life, into a new place. A new place in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. A new place. New place of intimacy. The oil of intimacy flow in this house right now. The oil of intimacy. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Yes. Fresh oil. You've been beat up, but that only makes good, pure olive oil. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Shotokotoraba. We love you, Jesus. Worship you. Helalamaramoyo. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the
If your heart is seeking after the Lord right now, you're not shut out. Spirit of God's with you. He's drawing you. He loves you. Just say yes to Him and let His life be made manifest. I just pray that the eyes of your heart would be opened. You can know the hope of your calling, that the power of the resurrection that's flowing out to you, the Spirit of God, in the name of Jesus. You must be born again, and then you must be filled with God's Holy Spirit. Receive His presence. What happened yesterday, who you were in the past, good things that you've done. The question is, where are you today? Open up your heart. He's here. The presence of the Lord's here. The presence of the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit. If you've never been born of the Spirit, if you don't really know what I'm talking about, just ask Jesus. Just say, Jesus, fill me with your life. I want to know you. Forgive me of my iniquity, of my sins. Fill my life. Fill my life. Fill my life. Yes, just bless you right now in Jesus' name.
Pour out from the heavens. Pour out from the heavens. Living water on us. Pour out from the heavens, pour out from the heavens, living water on us. Pour it out, Lord, pour out from the heavens, pour out from the heavens, living water on us. We want the real thing, God. God, let it fall all over us, 'cause you're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You're worthy of it all, Lord. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, to you are all things. You deserve the glory day and night. Day and night, night and day, let us rise. Day and night, night and day, let us sense rise. Day and night, night and day, let us sense rise. Day and night, night and day, let us sense
Thank you, Jesus. I'm reminded the hope and the but you go. Just talk to Jesus. Thank you for
the reign of darkness now has ended in the kingdom of light. In the kingdom of light, forever under your dominion. You're the king of my life. You're the king of my life. You reign above it all. You reign above it all. Over the universe and over every heart, there is no higher name. Jesus, you reign above it all. Cross, the work was finished. God, you poured out your life just to give us new life. Now from the lips of the forgiven, hear an anthem arise, 'cause you are alive, Lord. You reign above it all. Above it all, over the universe and over every heart, there is no higher name. Jesus, you reign above it all. Let all of heaven and the earth erupt in song. Sing hallelujah to the everlasting one. There is no higher name. Jesus, you reign above it all. You sent the darkness running out of an empty grave. Now seated alone in glory, enthroned on the highest praise. You sent the darkness running out of an empty grave. Now seated alone in glory, enthroned on the highest praise. You sent the darkness running out of an empty grave. Now seated alone in glory, enthroned on the highest praise. You sent the darkness running out of an empty grave. Now seated alone in glory, throne on the highest praise. You reign above it all. You reign above it all. Over the universe and over every heart, there is no higher name. Jesus, you reign above it all. Thank you, Lord.
You actually want me to call?